Now we come to another division here in the book of Deuteronomy. We have regulations for domestic and personal relations. You see, many of these laws have to do with the nation, given to the nation. Now, he gets right down, shall I say, to the nitty-gritty, where people live and move and have their being. And we have now domestic and personal relations. Now, in chapter 22, we have miscellaneous laws concerning brother relationships, dress, building code, planting seed, and marriage. Can you imagine all of that chucked in this one chapter here? Now, will you notice that? It says here, thou shalt not see thy brother's ox or his sheep go astray, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt in any case bring them again unto thy brother. And if thy brother be not nigh unto thee, or if thou know him not, then thou shalt bring it unto thine own house. It shall be with thee until thy brother seek after it, and thou shalt restore it to him again. Now, we've heard a great deal in our day about good neighbor policy. God had a good neighbor policy, and it was for his people in that day. We think that every now and then that we've come up with something new. I remember during the Roosevelt administration when he gave out the good neighbor policy, why all the pundits and reporters and writers, they came up and clapped their hands and said, this is brand new, isn't it wonderful? He's like a new Messiah. He's come up with something new. May I say to you, just happened to be as old as Moses. And it's much older than Moses. It goes back to the very throne of God in eternity. And he's saying that you're to adopt a good neighbor policy. And this is the way that you're to exhibit it in a very real way. And he says here in verse 4, thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fall down by the way, and hide thyself from them. Thou shalt surely help him to lift them up again. This is a good neighbor policy, you see. And this is something that, very frankly, is quite wonderful. It's wonderful beyond description, by the way, and something that we need to note here. I think probably I ought to call attention to something else. We've heard a great deal in our day about that which is known as a soul brother. You've heard about a soul brother. Well, this is it right here. This is a soul brother. It's your neighbor, and you're to help him. Now, will you notice verse 5? The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, I want to add this comment when we come to a verse like this. Somebody's going to say, well, we're not under law today. That's true. We're not under law. And I'm of the opinion that no one is certainly trying to put us back under law, and certainly a law like this. But let me be very candid, and you probably will think that I'm a square. I still believe that a woman looks better dressed as a woman, and a man looks better dressed as a man. I was driving up to San Francisco, and we were back of a little Volkswagen. And I told my wife, I say, you know, that's funny. The wife is driving and the man's sitting next to her. And we were back of them, couldn't get around them, to tell the truth. They were driving pretty fast. And they came to a hill where they weren't doing so well going up it. When I went around, you know, I was wrong. The man was driving, the woman sitting next to him. Believe me, the man looked like a woman, and the woman looked like a man. Now, I frankly don't see the benefit of that. I'm sure I'm a square. But I think a man ought to look like a man, and a woman ought to look like a woman. And that's what God is saying. God made them different. And we're living in a day when they're trying to look alike, trying to act alike. And we're having a great deal of trouble. I think womanhood is paying an awful price for this today. They are demanding equal rights. They ought to forget it because they have more than equal rights. I no longer take off my hat when I get on an elevator. And I want you to know something. I don't let a woman go ahead of me when I'm driving. I don't give way to a woman anymore. They wanted equal rights. So if they want equal rights, why, they can have them. I personally would like to treat them like a woman because that's the means that you elevate them and that they have better than equal rights. That's what God's talking about here. Now notice his concern, and this is one of the most wonderful things. Verse 6, if a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way in any tree or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young, but thou shalt in any wise let the dam go and take the young to thee, that is, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest prolong thy days. Protecting the birds. God's concern for the birds. And you remember the Lord Jesus said that a sparrow doesn't fall but what he knows. Actually, the language there has this thought, that a sparrow falls in the lap of the Father, always. Just a bird, he takes concern of that. And the Lord Jesus said, if the Heavenly Father has concern for a bird, well, he has a concern for you and knows about you. How wonderful that is. Now we have some very interesting laws given here that have to do with actually the building code. When thou buildest a new house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house, if any man fall from thence. Now, suppose a man built a house, and he said, well, I don't have enough money to put a railing around the steps that lead up to it and around the roof. The roof, you see, in that day was the front porch, the patio, the lanai, whatever you want to call it. That's where the family went to sit in the cool of the evening. That's where they retired. They had no front porch. They had no patio in the rear. So it was up on the roof. Now, God says you're to protect that. You put a railing around it, protect the little children, and protect folk at night. They might step off. We've just in recent years have had a building code that protects people, you know. God is not as much of an old-timer as a great many people seem to think he is. He had a concern. Think of that. God had a concern about the way you build your house, friends. He's interested in it. Why? Because he wants that home dedicated to him, and he wants it to be a safe place. Are children safe in your home? You have a railing around it? Do you protect them from the things of this world today? How many parents have seen the young man, the young woman, and I've talked with so many parents like this. They packed up and they went off and they don't even know where they are today, out with some hippie crowd living in one of these communals. How tragic it is in this hour in which we live to see that. The railing is not there today. It should be there. Now notice this. Here he says, verse 9, thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with divers seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. No mixture of seeds, you see. And then verse 10, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Now, friends, this is, to me, I think, a humorous thing that God's making here. I was over in that land. In fact, I've got a slide that I made. I don't know just where it is. But I took a picture of an Arab over there plowing with an ox and with an ass. They do it over there even today. God says, don't plow that way. Somebody said, well, what's wrong with that? Well, an ox is an ox and an ass is an ass. And they don't go together. They don't work together. They don't walk together. They are not alike. They're different, by the way. That's the reason that there are some folk ought not to get married. I've seen several marriages, in fact, quite a few, where it was the marriage of an ox and an ass. Some Christian girl married some unsaved fella, and that's what it is. That's the picture. Now, will you notice verse 11? Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Well, you know what happens. You wash the garment, and the wool will shrink up, and the linen will expand. And then what do you got? You got problems on your hands. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four corners of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. And that generally was blue. It was blue on the high priest's garment. That means that that fringe down at the bottom that touches the earth is to have a heavenly color, by the way. And that's when heaven touches earth. And the child of God can get great spiritual lessons here. We need to be very careful about sowing these diverse seeds. There are those that tell me today that the thing to do is to go into the nightclubs and go with the world and drink cocktails with them, and that's the way you'll reach them. I have news for you. You won't reach them. I've never heard anybody being reached like that. If you know of somebody, let me know, because it would be the first one I've heard of. And then the garment here, the wool and the linen should not be mixed together. You can't mix with the world, friends. Just impossible. Then you have a law here that protected the innocent wife. It kept a wife from being falsely charged. If any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasion of speech against her, bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman when I came to her, found her not a maid. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. In other words, this was a way to protect a wife from a godless husband, you see. And it was a way that we do not have today at all. God had an arrangement to protect a wife under these circumstances. But suppose a woman was guilty. Then we're told, verse 21, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones, that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the harlot in her father's house. So shall thou put evil away from you. Now, if a man be found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. Now, don't go to the 7th of Romans, friends, and say that, well, if a woman has a living spouse, they're not to marry. You see, that under the law, they wouldn't be living. The guilty one, whether it was a man or woman, was stoned to death. So under law, they wouldn't have. Now, they don't stone them to death here in Southern California. If they did, we couldn't have freeways because there'd be so many rock piles around where people have been stoned to death that you couldn't even make a freeway. You couldn't drive a car through Southern California. Well, we don't do that today. And therefore, don't take the 7th of Romans and attempt to say, well, if a woman has a living husband or a man has a living wife, he's not to marry. You're not stating it scripturally. You see, you should know this passage of scripture that under the law they wouldn't be alive.